You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Abdul Inessa is in his third year studying law, politics and international relations at the University of Strathclyde. He has retinopathy of prematurity and is looking at next steps moving from undergrad into employment. Outside of study time, he enjoys competing in goal ball and works part-time as a customer service advisor. Hi Abdul, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, are you all right?
We last spoke in 2022 about studying and your battle to get your materials in an accessible format. Have things improved on that front for you?
Yeah, things have really made a turnaround since then. I think in 2022, my disability advisor who did my needs assessment was off for a few months, and therefore things got worse without me having the contact to be able to go and say, actually, that's not what I need. And yeah, second year was absolutely great in terms of material, and so was first semester and all of this year, really. It seems like I made my needs clear to the disability services, and hopefully that won't change for my next and final year. Strathclyde right now is providing everything I need, to be honest. Keila, I noticed in terms of university experience, when you get a material in advance and you go through it, when you're turning up to a lecture and in smaller tutorials, you couldn't really make an argument or put a viewpoint across if you actually don't know what the topic is about and that was your first exposure to it. It's that difference between rushing to do all the reading before the exam as well. Because if you're getting things delivered right before the exam rather than throughout the term and kind of making small notes on it, when it goes to an exam as well, it really does impact on your grades.
And you're kind of thinking about next steps after your undergrad. What are some of the options you're excited about at the moment?
Over the last 6 months to a year, I've been looking into legal practice and going down the training contract route. I do want to practice in England and Wales rather than Scotland. It has been a bit of a bumpy road in terms of the application and assessment journey to be able to land a training contract. A lot of companies will talk about inclusive environment and diversity, and then you go on their website to apply. By the time you get to the second stage of assessment, a lot of the platforms they're using won't be accessible with the screen reader and wouldn't cater for extra time if you need it. A lot of the industry standard is 25% extra time and no more. And that's kind of applied no matter what disability you have. Whereas we know like most visually impaired students who do use a screen reader normally require 100% extra time in exams and assessments. And I would say the assessments and the recruitment processes, you're not even meant to be able to finish all of them within the time frame that you're given. But if you're only given 25% extra time, personally, I noted that I was only able to do about 50-60% of the questions. However, there has been a really good few law firms and other companies that I've reached out to directly and communicated my situation. Because a lot of the time, these websites are and platforms are outsourced, the companies would be promised that actually it is adhering with modern day accessibility standards. And then no one would really question it until you have a visually impaired candidate using it and feeding that back to their company. I've had really, really positive experiences with quite a few firms where they obviously noted the challenges and offered alternative assessments.
And try and come up with, say, two or three suggestions that you think could work. So you're not just telling them your assessment is not going to work. Actually, they kind of have a choice. Then it comes across a lot more professional.
You also do part-time work and you've kept up goal ball outside of your uni work. Why has it been important to kind of keep playing goal ball and find a way to let off steam?
I picked up goal ball when I was at the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford. And yeah, I just noticed the difference kind of it made on my well-being and kind of doing it in an enjoyable environment with people that you've known for a while and having a laugh on court and off court. Goal ball is one of those sports where basically everyone is friends off court, and then as soon as you're on court, you're basically enemies. And I enjoy the competitiveness and camaraderie, yeah.
Do you have any advice or tips for other students who are kind of looking at moving from high school into undergrad or undergrad into their next steps?
In terms of moving from sixth form or school, it's going to be a bit of a jump. You know, if you moved from primary school to secondary school to sixth form, I don't really think you're going to have much of a problem adapting to a new environment. It is going to be a little bit bigger, and if you're moving to a new city, it is quite scary. But I would really suggest going to visit your university campus and where you're going to be living before you start, because then you can kind of get a feel of where everything is and what challenges you might face. And that then kind of gives you the ability to go back to your mobility officer or DSA and kind of say, well, these are the routes that I want to learn before I start university, and going a couple of days before everyone else to kind of be able to settle in and get a feel of your new flat. It's just a lot easier than when everyone is around and you're trying to do things with your flatmates. It's good if you're there kind of a couple of days before, you know, you're confident you can kind of hit the ground running with making new friends and stuff like that. And anything that you've used over the 4 or 5 years, A-levels, or if you're doing hires, I would ask for it in your needs assessment. It's better for it to be there and you not use it than you having to ask for it halfway through the year because you realise that it actually would be really helpful. And also, I really suggest going to Site Village, because a lot of the time, private companies show you how it would be helpful in your university career. I mean, I've not really transitioned out of university yet, but I would really recommend getting involved with your subject societies, because a lot of the time they'll have people from the industry coming in and giving lectures about the opportunities that they have. I really, really can't highlight enough the importance of networking actually as a visually impaired person, because employers often have preconceptions about visually impaired people, and 83% of the blind people at the moment are out of employment. And if you're networking and meeting employers in person, showing them that you are actually capable to do the job if you are selected, it's really, really valuable, both for you but also for other visually impaired students coming after you who are also wanting to get involved.
Well, thank you so much, Abdul and Nessa, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio, and good luck for your final exams.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.